I wonder if you could turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15, and we'll be reading from verse 21 to the end. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put on his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him into the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, "And he was numbered with the transgressions." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he called it to Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women holding, looking on afar off. Among them was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him, and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Amen. Previously, we saw that though Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent, and he wanted to set him free, the chief priests and the scribes had persuaded the crowd gathered to ask for the release of Barabbas, a murderer, instead of Jesus. It was a custom that was instituted by the Roman authorities to release a prisoner of the people's choice during the Passover feast. Pilate then had Jesus flogged before handing him over to a battalion of soldiers who continued their cruelty by having a mock coronation. Stripping Jesus of his clothes and dressing him in purple, they placed a crown of thorns upon his head. Then they struck him on his head with a mock scepter made from reeds. Eventually, their cruel jest over, they put his own clothes back on him and led him away to be crucified. Which brings us to today's message: the crucifixion, death, and burial of Jesus. In verse 25 we read, "It was the third hour, and they crucified him." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. From John chapter 1, verses 1 and verse 14. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10, verse 10. Truths that were being realized. Having dressed Jesus in his own clothes, they led him outside to the city, to a small hill called Golgotha. Normally, the prisoners were required to carry their own cross. However, in Jesus' case, it was not possible. Because of the brutal torture and the suffering which he had endured, he was physically weak and no longer able to bear the cross himself. So we read that they compelled a man named Simon from Cyrene, father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. We don't know much about him, but his name is written in history. He carried Jesus' cross. The suffering of Jesus was very obvious. As a result, he was offered wine mingled with myrrh, the purpose to act as a drug to reduce the pain he was suffering. But he refused it. He was determined to endure the full measure of pain because of our sins, so that he could be our perfect suffering Savior. Then they crucified him. Often the way Christians face injustice, suffering and loss is a powerful witness to others about the reality of their faith. May God give us the grace so that we can face whatever this life may throw at us with the same kind of patience and graciousness that Jesus demonstrated, even toward those who are being unkind to us. Having crucified Jesus, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. Crucifixion is, if not the most, one of the cruelest ways that mankind has used to take the life of another human. Nailing was not the standard way of securing the victim to the cross. The nailing of Jesus emphasized the cruelty and the suffering that was dispensed by the soldiers. It fulfilled the prophecy in Psalm 22, verse 16. They pierced my hands and my feet. And in John 20 and verse 25 we read, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. While Jesus was impaled on the cross, we have an example of the attitude of many today for whom Jesus suffered and gave his life so that they might have life more abundantly. Total indifference to the person of Christ, the beloved Son of God. Total indifference to the presence of Christ. He took on himself human flesh and dwelt among us. Total indifference to the purpose of Christ. He gave his life so that we who are dead in sin might have life in him. After crucifying him, at the third hour, they cast lots for his clothes to decide which of his garments they would have. Foretold again in Psalm 22, verse 18. They added humiliation to his suffering. They wrote his charge and hung the notice above his head on the cross. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 37. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. There's the old saying, many a true word is spoken in jest. Possibly Pilate's opportunity of getting his own back at the Jewish religious authorities. They had refused to accept Jesus as their king. He wrote, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. The chief priests were not happy. They wanted it to say, he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate eventually showed some courage and refused to change it. We read that there were two robbers who was crucified with Jesus, one on either side. Jesus, crucified with the two thieves, gave the impression that all three were criminals getting what they deserved. Just as Isaiah predicted in Isaiah 53 and verse 12, that he would be associated with criminals in his death. None of us like to be ridiculed. It is not physical, but it does hurt. Jesus became the object of ridicule from both passers-by and the religious leaders. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They challenge him to come down from the cross and save himself and prove whom he claimed to be. Thankfully, Jesus remained on the cross to save all mankind, even those who treated him cruelly and mocked him. We know that he could have come down from the cross with heavenly power, but where would we be today? Lost forever, without a Saviour, destined for judgment and hell. The passers-by, or some of them, were probably Jews who were on their way to keep the Passover in the city. They paused long enough to hurl insults at the Lamb of God, misquoting him as threatening to destroy their beloved temple and rebuild it in 3 days. If he was so great, let him save himself by coming down from the cross. We read that the chief priests and scribes also mocked Jesus' claim to save others. He saved others, himself he cannot save. Once again, we're reminded of the old saying, many a true word is spoken in jest. The words of the chief priests, however, weren't spoken in jest. It was spoken as a taunt, cruelly, but it was true. He could have saved himself, but he chose not. They also challenged him to prove that he was the Messiah, the King of Israel, by coming down from the cross. Then they would believe. Let us see, and then we will believe. God's order is, believe, and then you will see. The two thieves who were crucified with Jesus joined in the mockery. But in Luke chapter 23 and verse 29 to 43, we read that later one of the thieves repented of his sins and acknowledged Jesus as Lord and received this promise from Jesus, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. For 3 hours, Jesus hung on the cross, enduring physical agony. At the 6 hour midday, darkness covered the earth for 3 hours. The darkness symbolized God's judgment on Jesus for our sins. This was infinitely worse than all the physical suffering he had endured so far. Let's for a moment consider the suffering that Jesus endured because of our sins, from mathematical or practical point of view. We deserve punishment, judgment, because of our sins and an eternity in hell. Consider the millions that have and will put their trust in the sacrifice of Jesus, and all that suffering was laid on him for 3 hours on the cross. Remember Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14? My soul is exceeding sorrowful and dead. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. He knew what lay ahead of him. Only as a man could Jesus suffer in our place, and only as God could he endure such a massive weight of punishment. Jesus finally cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As we read in Psalm 22 and verse 1. Some bystanders thought he was calling for Elijah to help him. Someone passed up a sponge soaked in sour wine for him to drink. Others said, let's see if Elijah will come down to help him. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. He gave up the ghost. His terrible suffering was finally over. Jesus was in full control. No one took his life from him. His cry was not a cry of defeat. It was a cry of victory. He yielded up his spirit after saying, "It is finished." He had completed the great work of salvation, the work that his Father had sent him to accomplish. As Jesus died, we are told, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The veil of the temple symbolized the separation, the barrier between holy God and sinners. However, with the death of Jesus, the veil was torn supernaturally from top to bottom to show the way was now open. The barrier had been removed. We, as sinners, are made welcome in the presence of the Lord God Almighty through faith in Jesus and his death on the cross. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51 to 53 gives us some additional information the moment Jesus died. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." When the centurion who stood by saw what had happened and heard Jesus cry and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Possibly due to consideration of personal safety, there is no mention of the disciples. They may have been there amongst the crowd. However, standing at a distance, we read, was a group of women, which included the two Marys and Salome, who had been following Jesus. They watched where Jesus was buried. They were naturally very sad, for they did not fully understand that in 3 days, Jesus would rise from the dead. It was against the Jewish law for a body to be left hanging overnight. So Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Sanhedrin, who had not been present at Jesus' trial, went and asked Pilate for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised that Jesus had died. So he checked with the centurion that Jesus was dead. When Jesus' death was confirmed, Pilate gave permission for Joseph to take the body of Jesus, helped by Nicodemus. Joseph took Jesus' body, wrapped in fine linen and spices, and placed the body in a tomb nearby that belonged to Joseph. Joseph was a wealthy man and fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 53 and verse 9. "And he made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." There are those who say that Jesus did not actually die. If that was true, then our sins could not be forgiven. We would not have any hope in heaven. Jesus died and was buried. This lies at the very heart of our faith. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. It is written in the scriptures. Do we realize and appreciate how privileged we are compared to the Jews under the Old Covenant? Under the Old Covenant, only the priests could enter the holy place, and only the high priest could enter the most holy of holies, and then only once a year. Yet we are privileged to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Have you received the gift of salvation freely offered? Let us take advantage of the tremendous privilege resulting from the sacrifice of Jesus to draw near to a holy God, Almighty, anytime, anywhere, as often as we should. Amen.